translation. Now, I do know that in a morning situation, sometimes we are not so concentrated when we hear the purport. I do recommend you to listen as I read, almost like a calf which follows the mother to get the nourishment of the milk. In other words, wherever the cow goes, there the calf goes. Or in this case, wherever the text goes, in whatever informational, whatever information it goes, there your mind should follow in hopes of getting some nourishment for your spiritual life. Translation. The devotee is then freed from all material contamination. Then means when he is situated in full devotional service. The devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. So, body and mind is spiritualized when one is thinking of the Lord's pastimes in devotional service. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance and material consciousness and all kinds of material desires are completely burnt to ashes. This is a stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Welcome, Kripamaya Paribhuji. Purport. When a devotee is completely purified, he becomes anyavilashita shunya. In other words, all of his material desires become zero, being burnt to ashes. And he exists either as the Lord's servant, his friend, his father, mother, or conjugal lover. Because one thinks constantly in this way, that you know, I'm the Lord's servant, friend, father, and so on. He's in it. One's present material body and mind are fully spiritualized, and the needs of one's material body completely vanish from one's existence. An iron rod put into a fire becomes warmer and warmer and warmer, and when it's red hot, it is no longer an iron rod, but fire. Similarly, when a devotee constantly engages in devotional service and thinks of the Lord in his original Krishna consciousness, he no longer has any material activities, for his body is spiritualized. Advancement in Krishna consciousness is very powerful. And therefore, even during this life, such a devotee has achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. This transcendental ecstatic existence of a devotee was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya writes as follows. Tad bhava bhava tad yata svarupam bhakti kechit bhakta viniritianti gayanti cha yatepsitum kechit ushnim japanti eva kechit shobhayakarinaha. The ecstatic condition of devotional service was completely exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sometimes danced, sometimes cried, sometimes sang, sometimes remained silent, and sometimes chanted the holy name of the Lord. That is perfect spiritual existence. Hare Krishna, this is a powerful text. So, I just wish to say before I give a very traditional Bhagavatam class, I want to greet all of you affectionately. It is my great honor that you have assembled to listen to this text and an exposition or explanation of the text. And I really hope to make this text practical for you, that it comes into, let me say, the hope that one day you will experience this also for yourself, and hope to show some roads to this perfect spiritual existence where we are simply ecstatic in Krishna consciousness following the lead of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm very honored also to see for the first time in sannyas garb my exalted Vairagi Bhai, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, and my heart dances in supreme joy seeing Kripa Maya Prabhu, who charmed us a week ago or in Radha Desh with his wonderful, accomplished devotional singing. And I've seen also in the corner of my eye the exalted brother of I shouldn't refer to you as let me say a sibling of someone else. You are Indrisha, correct? Oh God. And of course Shruti Dharma, who has a heart as big as a universe, where he even finds place for me. This is very unusual. Very good, good Vaishnav. And all of you who I remember from previous visits, some of you, and others, Anu, and also my Sanskrit teacher, my Katha teacher has arrived, Avadhuta Priya, very good. So we try to do something, to not entertain you, but to give you some perspective on this. So, okay. Having said this much, I will now try to speak on this. But I find it necessary to say that I'm very happy to be with you, really. And, you know, life is so fast. And I just noticed I was in the manor many, many years ago. And yesterday, the sweet maker, Mother Kalingi or Kalangi, Kalangi said, "I should beat you for coming so unfrequently. You need to be beaten." When Mother says like this, we have to take it very seriously. Our Mother has spoken. Oh. Okay. Please repeat with me the prayers. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivesheja Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Vandeham si guru si juta pada kamalam si gurun vaishnavamsha Sri rupam sagrajatam sahagana lalita raghunatam vidantam sajivam sadvetam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangsha Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vashadi Go Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. In this verse, the prayojana tattva of Krishna consciousness is delineated. It describes to us what happens when we are free from material contamination and are fully absorbed in the Lord's pastimes, in our constitutional original position. That means when we are firmly fixed in our rasa, original rasa, and we are relating to Krishna personally. Let us patiently listen to this text again. The devotee is then freed from all material contamination because he constantly thinks of the Lord's pastimes and because his mind and body have been converted to spiritual qualities. Because of his intense devotional service, his ignorance, his material consciousness, and all kinds of material desires are completely burned to ashes. This is the stage at which one can achieve the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ends his purport with a role model, someone who exhibited this exalted state of consciousness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he describes Mahaprabhu, who sometimes danced, sometimes cried in ecstatic love of Godhead, sometimes sang, sometimes also remained silent. Mahaprabhu would sit and with his hand he would paint the name Krishna in the dust of the dam, and he would scratch the ground, and he would cry, thinking of Krishna and calling out Gaun Krishna, Gaun Mulidhara, Gaun Natabara, where are you, Krishna, the carrier of the flute, the best of the dancers. And in this way, and sometimes he remained silent, chanted the holy names. And then again he chanted the holy names of the Lord. This is the picture which we are getting here. Something which Prabhupada indicates as an advancement in Krishna consciousness. We are supposed to arrive one day there. Now, naturally, as we are settling down with our bodies and minds to yet another of the innumerable classes on Prayojana Tattva, we wonder, when will I even come close to this? I also want to be ecstatic one day and experience Krishna consciousness. What is the path which is available for me, and when will it come, if at all? We sometimes ask such a question. Now, I would like to answer this question today, because it has informed my Krishna consciousness, this question. I'm unfortunately belonging to that class of Hare Krishna devotees who believes that experience is very important in spiritual life. And I'm therefore sometimes a little impatient, and my elders are sometimes not entirely satisfied with my probing into this subject, but what can I do? When the call of the heart is there, one has to follow. So in my own life, I have really always asked, how is it possible? I don't just want to understand the philosophy, I want to experience the fruits from the bhakti tree like this. So in reading and probing and asking and making innumerable pilgrimages and studying books and so on, I have come to the firm conviction that this is available to us if we travel the road of Sankirtan. Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha Anucheta 269, you find him extolling Sankirtan as a process over superior to all other processes in the Bhakti tradition. He says, Sankirtan, or chanting with others, is superior even to Kirtan, which he refers as chanting alone, because, now listen to why this process is supposed to be superior, because it produces such extraordinary feelings. Now let us ask, what are the extraordinary feelings which can happen in Sankirtan? That is, when you sit together chanting, like we did or tried at least yesterday evening in this wonderful Kirtan program which was arranged here in the manor. No? What are these extraordinary feelings? To obtain an answer to this question, I would like to refer you to a very, very important discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his own spiritual master Ishwarapuri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had received the mantra from him, and he came back to with a feedback. He said, Guru Maharaj, he came to Ishwarapuri, what kind of mantra have you given me? I sometimes laugh and that I behave like a puggle, like a madman. Is this all right, or did something go wrong here? And Ishwarapuri smiles and tells him, my dear child, this is very good, this extraordinary feelings. You have obtained the goal, love of Godhead. And then Ishwarapuri now wants to convince Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he says, I will now teach you a verse which is the essence of the Bhagavatam. Would you like to know this verse? The essential teaching. Hopefully you don't beat me. Hare Krishna. Well, the mother can do. She has all the rights to do. So the essence is here. It's in the 11th canto. Let me find this for you. Oops. Yes. Evam vrata svapriyana makirtya jatanurag godruta citta utshay ha satya torodit gayanti. No, gayati unmara means crazy. Unmara vanrityati lokabhaya. Here, Ishwarapuri says, this is the essence of the whole teachings of the Bhagavatam. This one verse captures it, and you seem to have realized it. So very good. And here's the verse for you in English. By chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, one comes to the stage of love of Godhead. Then the devotee is fixed in his vow as an eternal servant of the Lord. Well, same thing, he has realized his eternal constitutional position. Just by chanting it, he comes there. And he gradually becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, or cries, or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman. Wonderful. For he is indifferent to public opinion. This is the essence. You are on the path of ecstasy, my dear devotees. This is what this process brings you to. if I would try to be unconventional, I would say to you, it's good to be a madman. In the sense that in the sense of the yoga tradition, see, all bona fide yogic processes, also bhakti yoga, yoga is a path of connecting the individual with the supreme, all paths have one essential purpose. It's that the person who walks on the path is fully absorbed in the object of his meditation to the extent that everything else disappears from his perception, or he is no longer aware of anything which is external to that object where he goes to. For us, we want to be absorbed in Krishna, something which Prabhupada termed to be Krishna consciousness. There is no longer the world in your consciousness, but Krishna, his form, first his name, his form and his qualities, and then these three attributes, name, the form, how Krishna looks like, and his qualities, like for instance, that he is so merciful to the devotees, start to, in your perception, all, how to say, become integrated into a river of, a moving river of pastimes, Krishna's activities, in which the devotee, which he first becomes aware of, like here, he thinks of the Lord's pastimes always, constantly, and then finally he Krishna invites him and takes him into this pastimes. This for the in the bhakti tradition in, or in Krishna consciousness is the idea of full absorption, full absorption in Krishna, to the extent of seeing the world even no longer as the world, even moving and non-moving things of the world are all seen in relationship to Krishna. Everywhere, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, 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 Rakshaman, only Krishna, 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 Krishna. This is the whole idea, and here, this is, therefore, it's the essence of the Bhagavatam to tell, it says here, one becomes very much attached to a particular name and form of the Supreme Personality of God, and the heart melts with ecstatic love. Huh? And the road to all, and these are extraordinary feelings. Now, that you just, the extraordinary feelings which are happening in Kirtan. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes a very, very nice purport to this, full absorption in Krishna consciousness, and he describes a scene which the chanter of the holy name sees. He sees Krishna, the son of Yashoda, as he has entered the house of one elderly gopi called Jarati, and to steal the fresh butter. So Jarati somehow catches him red-handed in the act of doing the crime, the butter theft, and shouts, "Grab him! Keep him away!" Hearing these menacing words, what is menacing words, please? What is the word menacing indicating?
Threatening.
What?
Threatening.
Is it threatening? Menacing? I'm looking to Indrisha, the master of the words of English language. menacing. It's like crazy a little bit, huh? What? Yes, sort of troubling, yes. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Lakshman, Ram Sita Hanuman ki jai, yes. Hearing these menacing words spoken by the elderly gopi Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. So the devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed as he chants with Krishna consciousness, laughs about the scene. His Lord looking around at this really upset lady running after him, and Krishna escaping, and he laughs in ecstasy. But suddenly Krishna has run away and is no longer available to his vision. And what happens then? And then he cries and he shouts. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I had seen you, and now you have run away. And then Krishna, and so nicely, Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, says how he laments, "Oh, I achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now it has suddenly slipped from my hands." Thus the devotee cries loudly, "Oh my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer." Then the Lord answers, "My dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have again come before you." And then, when the devotee sees in his ecstatic vision while he chants that Krishna has first left his vision and then returned, the devotee is so much enlivened that he again sings and dances and expresses his good fortune. "Today my life has become perfect," he says, and he begins to dance like a madman. The point which we are focusing on is this. Kirtan can create extraordinary devotional feelings in the devotee who engages in this anga of bhakti. These extraordinary devotional feelings indicate towards full absorption and a vision of his beloved Lord, the Lord whose name he chants, which then throws the devotees into an ocean of ecstatic Krishna consciousness. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, and this is the process which is there in Krishna consciousness, in our ISKCON society, a process whereby which we also very clearly, place emphasis over the Smaranam tradition, the tradition of meditation and remembrance. And our line of thought, Kirtan, is more important than even meditation about Krishna's pastimes, because now we come to another very important reason. You have to understand how this works. Because, see, sound grabs the mind. The mind, the central focus of all one's efforts for purification, is... It's difficult to purify it if you work with a mind which is full of sanskaras and you try to somehow meditate with a mind which is not yet purified. But Kirtan grabs that wandering mind with an iron fist, so to say, with a fist of sound, and then captures it. Those of you who have been trying to chant extra rounds in Vrindavan have noticed that there is a problem in Vrindavan, that is the increasing quality of the loudspeakers. They're so loud everywhere. And you try to chant and you have your own sound going on, but there is a louder sound overlaying your own sound and grabs your mind, you know. I once was trying to study, and then next to me comes this English Hindi song, Sanyasi, come home, you know. No, Sanyasi, come home, I want to study here, you know. And I was constantly struggling with this loudspeaker. I was studying in the same room with Krishna Chetra Prabhu for our Bhakti Shastri, and it was so disturbing because the sound grabs the mind, even if it's nonsense sound. It's your mind happens to be a vata mind, you know. So this works in the positive field, where if you chant kirtan together with musical instruments in the glorification of the Lord, then you know your mind is brought to a place of transcendence, which is very difficult to do by meditation with that mind which is not yet cooperative, which is full of impurities or sanskaras. This was proven in the court of Akbar when there was a singer contest, and Tansen, he's a pupil of I believe Swami Haridas, he went into the forest with the whole royal court to prove his abilities, and he sang a raga, and a wild deer came, and he gave the deer his garland, and then stopped the raga, and the deer looked around, saw all the royalty, Akbar and his people, and fled into the forest. And Akbar said, "Can you please prove your extraordinary abilities in singing ragas? I only believe that you are my best singer if you can bring back that deer and take his garland from him." Tansen said, "By the mercy of my guru, I will try." And he broke out in a song, in a raga song, and lo and behold, after some time, that frightened deer returned, because his mind was magically grabbed by the power of music. I mean, this was extraordinary music, you know. And was brought back to the court, and Tansen took back the garland and said, "My emperor, to whom should this garland go now?" So, Prabhupada speaks about this ability of music to grab the mind, or sound to grab the mind. He says, "The hearing tendency is made easy and still more favorable by songs and music of spiritual value, to be equally shared by all classes of men." So you all have a hearing tendency to hear sound. It's made easy if you have music. Then the hearing is very, yes, you're concentrated, you're fixed, you are easily with the subject. So this psychological fact is one of the reasons why Sankirtan is so superior. But this is not the only reason. And it's a beginner's reason. I want to go from easily understandable reasons to very high reasons with you. I would like to give a second reason. Who of you have studied the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Don't be afraid. I won't ask you a difficult question which you don't know to answer. Who have... no, only one. Nectar of Devotion? Are you reading our books? No? Many of you have read. Have you noted the word rasa in the title? No? Rasa. What is the rasa? It's a mellow. What's a mellow yellow? What is a mellow, please? It's a feeling, a taste. Rasa is a difficult concept. I think we have to turn to our pandits here.
Yeah.
Rasa is also, especially when spelled backwards, rasa, sara. Yeah, it's also, well, yeah. Rasa is a very difficult concept. Our Bhakti Rasamrita Swami is smiling because he knows already this Swami is dangerous who's sitting here. If you ask the question, what is rasa? I mean, you go like, oops, can I have an hour, please, to explain this concept? Let us make it simple. Rasa, yes, is this an experience? But the bhakti rasa of which we are talking is an experience in relationship with the Lord. It usually happens when you are already fixed in your constitutional position. But sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, sometimes a devotee can make a flash of that feeling, the transcendental feeling, and he knows, I never ever had such an experience in this world. I think you all have made that. Krishna has given you a precursor where you something touched your heart which was so extraordinary, which happened maybe during a darshan, during meeting an empowered Vaishnava, during in an unexpected way while you were chanting, all of a sudden you understand, oh my God, I'm an eternal soul, it's true, and Krishna is Krishna. I never believed it, but I know it now. It's something which comes from another dimension, and it is clearly the most ecstatic thing. Now, there are material things eventually that rasa is experienced in sexuality. I don't know if you have made experiences of this. No need to answer. It's something which is so enticing, which is I'm speaking now of material tastes, which just makes you convinced, I want to go after this. This is the best human experience which is possible. Huh? So in bhakti, you have that in relationship with Krishna. Now, Rupa Goswami, he designed a process, the 64 angas of bhakti, by which he theologically brings us to an experience of the object of rasa, that is Lord Krishna, or Radha and Krishna. Huh? That is the idea of his book. It was written in a period where rasa was discussed frequently in Indian philosophy. There was a particularly a scholar, Abhinava Gupta is his name. Those who have studied know this is a name which you need to quote when you discuss rasa. And he wrote, he was before Rupa Goswami, but Rupa Goswami clearly looked at his work and of the work of previous writers. And Abhinava Gupta wrote, when the feelings are, when rasa can be experienced, when feelings are shared in the company of like-minded souls, then when many come together and experience something, that feeling can be shared. Let me give you an example. I want to talk very convincingly, so I will talk about things you all know about, the football craze. You know, many people come together in the football stadium and look something as significant as a little ball rolling over a green lawn and become all excited about it to an extent, where they clearly begin to inform their excitement informs the other people's excitement, and they build up a tsunami wave of excitement which breaks whole football stadiums apart. You know, I think the irony of this doesn't escape you. Hare Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami, he said that in bhakti you need to come together with like-minded people who are snikta, who are full of affection for you and who share the same devotional orientation. Because in that company, in that sadhu sangha, you will experience Krishna consciousness. Now this is what we do when we come together in sankirtan. We sit in a hall and we sing the holy names, and we actually benefit very much from not only the leader. The leader has to do his part and really sing for Krishna and connect with Krishna. But we really share in with the feelings of all the other kirtan devotees. Yesterday someone introduced to me guests which he brought for the first time into the temple, and I asked the guests who were for the first time in the temple after the kirtan. So that must have been a very unusual experience for you. So many people, so loud, sweating and singing their hearts out. How was it? Was it maybe culturally too aggressive for you, or was it all right? Or tell me your experience. And the people saw that I was able to talk normally with them, and not they were like, oh, powerful, that energy in the room. I mean, I will never forget that. That was that energy. My God, was that an energy? One person said. It was the other said, I'm in a loss of words. I looked at all of you and I could see you were so absorbed in the same thing, singing these names of your Lord. And it affected me. It touched my heart also. First I felt a little like a mosquito amongst elephants. He didn't use these words, but a little out of place, because I don't know what you were doing. I was just thrown into the water here. But then I let go, I relaxed, and I just said, okay, let me just share in the experience. And wow, was that powerful. This is what happens in Sankirtan, and it's the second reason why Sankirtan can create such extraordinary feeling if you open your heart to it. I want to give a third reason, which I feel is very, very convincing. Sankirtan, or singing the names together, is group petition. You know, we all sing, please engage me in your service, but we approach the Lord in a group of singers. And more mercy is drawn from the heart of the Lord when a group of devotees asked him for something than if someone comes alone and asked him alone. Brahma, the creator of this universe, knew this when trouble was in the universe. You all know there was the planet Earth, which has a central role in the cosmology, was overthrown by Kamsa and his vassals, his servants, and it was under demoniac rule, and Mother Earth came to Brahma to ask for help. She took on the form of the cow and petitioned the Lord, "Can you please help?" And Brahma said, "I can't help you against Kamsa. He is very strong. But I will go to the Lord and ask him." And then Brahma now could have gone on lonely pilgrimage to Svetadvip. But he didn't. He took so many devatas along with him. They all assembled at the banks or the shore of the river, or the ocean of milk, and then together they chanted the Purusha Shukta prayers and petitioned the Lord to appear. Then the Lord appeared. So if you come together in a group of like-minded devotees singing the names, it's group petition, and it draws a lot of mercy. The fourth reason I want to say, I want to only talk briefly about, because I can feel in the atmosphere that I'm most probably almost over time. When do we end these classes here? Ten more minutes. Thank you. Acha. 10 more minutes. Yes. Okay, 10 more minutes. Switch. What to explain in 10 minutes? I will make it very short and maybe personal. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a verse which says that the name, the form, it's called the Vigraha, and the Svarupa, that is the personality of the Lord, are absolutely identical. So when we sing the name, actually Krishna is there. But how should we sing the name? I feel the Hare Krishna movement needs to join the Hare Krishna movement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a very startling comment. When does the Lord appear and when does he not appear? He says, you must, only when you chant with sambandha, that is a connection with Krishna, then will you chant the real name, that means Krishna. If you chant without a connection with the name, with the person whose name you chant, if it's just a lip chanting, you only have the shadow name. Now let us imagine, just Shruti Dharma is friendly related to me, so he won't mind if I use him as an example. Let us imagine Shruti Dharma looks at the treasury and finds out we have very little Lakshmi. So today we will cook something. We will cook Gaja Halava for everyone. But we will do it like this. We will have the preparation in the other meals. And then we put a lamp on this, shine a lamp on this, and then there is a shadow. And then we tell the devotees, you all eat today the shadow of a meal. You know, it's cost effective and so on. Will you be nourished? No, you will maybe, if this goes on for a month or two, seriously consider your further participation in the efforts of the Bhaktivedanta Mena. Shadows don't nourish. So if you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, but you only have a shadow of the name, you don't have the real name, you are spiritually starved and emaciated. And you will not be spiritually enlivened. You won't experience extraordinary devotional feelings. This class will be one of the many torturous classes where an exalted experience is promised, but you have not made it. You have only seen the shadow of it. You have not fed yourself. We have too many shadow Hare Krishnas. We have too much shadow in our movement. We have not enough substance. And that's why many experience that we have become so external and have left the internal values. Then how can I experience the real thing in Krishna consciousness? Well, it's not so difficult. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, this simple way of connecting is expressed in a beautiful verse. I don't have the time to give like the philosophical knowledge so much about around this verse, but it says, if someone sincerely says Krishna for so many long years, I have forgotten you in this material world, but today I turn to you as your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. Then Krishna will accept such a soul. You just have to come to this turning point in your consciousness where you just turn to the Lord in a mood of seeking connection. Even if you are disqualified, even if you have still material desires, it's not for the bhakti path. It's at least for the starting of the thing. It's not such a problem. Because if someone understands, I'm the part of you, I'm not a person from this material world, I'm part of you, my Lord. Alas, I have been a Maya Das for so long, and not a Krishna Das. Then Krishna helps such a soul. What he does is, he fortifies him. Fortifies means strengthens him with some of his internal energy, and at that time the devotee becomes strong. So this happens in the kirtan experience. When devotees in kirtan could just learn to connect to Krishna and not do a lip kirtan but heart kirtan, where they just turn to the deity and sincerely just connect and say, my Lord, please accept me. You know who I am. I'm not very qualified, you know. Please accept me. At that time, the Lord is heart is moved. And then, yes, the Lord gives some extraordinary taste. Even newcomers can feel it who come with an open heart here. They can feel it. Kirtan is very much for this age of Kali because it was very merciful, the Lord, when there is group petition going on. He comes. You know, if only Shruti Dharma comes to me on my door and says, Maharaj, get up for the class, I will think many times if I get up. But if a group comes, oh my God, I feel socially inconvenienced. And I just get into the bathroom and come down like a flash of lightning. This is psychology. So group petition works very well on the Lord also. But the petition has to happen. And for that in Mahaprabhu's kirtan, this is my last thing, I have to put it in. Two things Mahaprabhu taught us. Trinadapi. And I will now translate it into something which you have not heard. Be open, be frank. You don't have to be Ramanujacharya or a great soul if you are not. Be open, be frank, what you are that you are. You know it a little bit, and all the others know it very well. Be frank, be open, be what you are, turn to the Lord. And then, how should we turn to the Lord? Humility. But is there some other instruction of Mahaprabhu? Yes. Nayanam galadashrudaraya. Longing. Longing, yearning. My situation is troublesome. But I long for you. This longing is taught by Mahaprabhu in theology. It translates into vipralamba. In a simple language, it's a desire for Krishna. I think it is very important to know this is the path which Mahaprabhu taught. This is the path which Prabhupada has revealed to us. There are many other paths in the bhakti tradition, but this is what we have learned from our exalted spiritual father, Prabhupada. He says, these three words, namely Hara, Krishna and Rama, are the transcendental seeds of the Mahamantra. The chanting, listen to this, he will now talk how to do it. The chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and his energy to give protection for the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. Mother Hara, Radharani, helps the devotee achieve the Lord Father's grace. And the Lord reveals himself to the devotee who chants this mantra sincerely. No other means of spiritual realization is as effective in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy as the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Summary now. Kirtan is praised, Sankirtan is praised over all processes because it produces extraordinary devotional feelings. How does this work? It works by the power of grabbing the mind, which is the goal of all processes. It grabs by the experience of, in a group you can make an experience of the aesthetic taste, the rasa. It works because group petition is very, very powerful. But you need to know, of course, how to do this. You need to learn how to chant. Not a shadow, but the real mantra will come when you are doing it properly, avoiding the apparats, and just knowing a few things how from which Prabhupada teaches. It's a thing. So for this end... Yes, there are now japa retreats conducted all over the world. Vrindavan, something very nice, is done by the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education and all over the world. And I sincerely invite yourself to go to such a retreat. You will discover things you might have thought, I know how to chant, and we know generally. But if we are really trained and really the points are brought out to us and we are practicing in a group with that determined effort, I want to now do this and stop my wandering mind, then you will make an extraordinary experience which will inform your practice in your Krishna consciousness. Good. Thank you all very much, and I will end here. Shruti Dharma, questions, or it's a little over time, isn't it? We can take. I will try to answer as concisely, not with so much energy that you have to fear me. do you have questions on these subjects? Let me see. You are always with me, Gaurahari. Let us see if the reserved English population dares to ask a German a question. I'm joking. Yes, Prabhu. Please, what is your question? Vishvambar, isn't it? Yeah. Very good. It's a very good question. Have you understood the question? How much can a person experience? Isn't that dependent on his adhika, on his qualification? Certainly you are right. Experience is always related to the qualities within the experiencer, the person who makes the experience. It's always related. But there's another factor, Vishvambar, in chanting, and that is the Naam Kripa, the mercy of the holy name, which does come also to neophytes. Like in his essay on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you will find Prabhupada saying that even a child can participate in it. Even, you know, there is an experience in kirtan available for even a beginner. By the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that experience is available, and devotees have seen wonders how really neophytes and beginners on the path, not even our own people, have really made profound spiritual experiences. Obviously, what you say is a point of consideration. But I really want to say there are thinkers in our movement who very much stress adhikar. You have another school here. I am thinking personally that there is a lot of information about adhikar. And I feel it's very important to lead devotees to stress this, you know, otherwise we might become cheap emotionalists. But there is experience available for devotees by the mercy of the holy name. And I invite you to read this on chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's amazing what Prabhupada talks about this subject there. And therefore its sankirtan is really, it can also elevate an ordinary conditioned soul. Of course there is one thing which absolutely stops the experience, that's aparad. But if a person doesn't do aparad, and really aparad is when you do have an intention to hurt, when someone makes a mistake, that's not yet an our Lord is a merciful Lord, but yes, aparad is the break on this. Yes, Indrisha Prabhu.
Maharaj, I really like your point about we need to be frank and open and be who we are. I find a lot of fear coming in my heart when you say that, because I think amongst the society of devotees we've experienced when we do that, it can be very painful.
And yet this, yeah. This what I said about frankness and openness is Prabhupada wrote that in the fourth canto. Those who are folio masters, you know, frank and open, there you will find this quotation. And in connection with the Ramanujacharya. See, bhakti... See, philosophically, the bhakti path is different from karma and jnana. Now what, let us say, what is in jnana, it's very important to have qualifications of renunciation, especially renunciation. You can't even study the Vedanta Sutras on the jnana mark without being an immaculate sannyasi, you know. So, in karma, you have to have faith in following all these precise rules which go into the regular thing, the rules and regulations. In bhakti, it's there is a different element. The element is you know, you're supposed to hear about Krishna, and serve him, and these other things. Will come in the process, you know. Of course, renunciation is important, and it is Mahaprabhu is stressing this for his devotees. But it will come. It's not a prerequisite, in other words, to enter the bhakti path. And I feel sometimes we as Westerners have mixed it a little bit, you know. Karma. If I do this, then the Lord has to give me his mercy. That's a karmic concept. Or if I'm very renounced, if I'm very this and that, then the Lord will give mercy. No, it's not like that. There's a verse in the 11th canto which is very very telling in this. Yata something. I don't know. I will find it so fast. Let me just remember it as I know it. It says, my devotee knows that material sense gratification doesn't lead to a good goal. He knows that. But he still should have faith and he should be happy and continue to listen about me and my pastimes. And in this way, he will surely become a good devotee, something like this. It's about that this is not an obstacle. What is an obstacle is pretense, kaitaba, to be someone you are not. Because then the motivation in your heart cannot be truthful. That is an obstacle. Now, I want to say, I'm very, very conscious of the lecturers who sat on this seat before me. I do know that I'm bringing another color into the philosophical discussion if I compare myself. I really don't want to say names. It is known. I can feel it. I'm a sensitive in... I'm also... I have also antennas. What I wish to express is a message of hope to all of you, that there is hope for each one to make advancement if you go on the right road. That is the chanting of the Lord's holy name with the right understanding, free from offenses, in a humble state of mind, with a sincere longing, and there is great hope that you will go. And I really suggest to you these programs which Shruti Dharma and Pranabandhu Prabhu have organized, this, I think, weekly chanting sessions. Please come and just sit in it, even if your mind wants to go to the emails. Just sit in it and you will see something happens and you will see how your desires change and you really desire to go back home. That's, by the way, also a jnana goal, back home, back to Godhead. If you don't understand this terminology, it means moksha. You want liberation from suffering. But we want bhakti, we want Krishna, we want to please him. So that is there, yeah? And I would suggest, as far as the frank and openness, do that with devotees where you can have a confidential exchange, good friends. We all need to do this with good friends. Otherwise, we suffer from emotional blockage in our system, and we then don't act in a free way. And yes, in our society, sometimes there you have to be careful. This is the state, you know. You have to be careful, but it's also natural injuries. Confidential sharing can be done only with friends. Human culture prescribes this, because you want to go deep to the deeper things in your heart, and you want to somehow acquire the wealth from the heart of the other person. And for that, there must be a confidential frame. I think it's natural. And then you will see. I had such a discussion with Akhandati Prabhu. Wow, that was such a good discussion. I felt encouraged to talk about confidential questions I had, and he felt encouraged, and we thought, my God, this is the beginning of many more discussions. We felt like that. It's important. Was that a good discussion? So good. It's so necessary to feel relieved, to feel okay. Because you, in confidential discussions, you have to ask, is my thinking all right? Do you think it's all right? Or please correct, I'm not so sure here. Correct and say some other perspectives, because I'm only in my own perspective, but the reality is much more than two eyes can see. And then you must then open. If you don't have anyone... See, yesterday we had this wonderful, wonderful meeting with the Pandava Senas. That was so good. Where was it? Buckland Hall in Wales, where the, you know, mystical England, you know. I told the devotees that if you don't have someone to confidentially reveal your mind, you will do like the ordinary people. They pay a psychotherapeut, do you know this? To just listen to them. Because is he called a psychotherapeut? Therapist, yes, therapist. He cannot talk what you have talked, otherwise he loses his job. It's an oath he has to give. I will not talk what the client talks to me. You know, he cannot do. So they go and pay him. Many, many. It's in vogue now. Because people need to get free from this emotional blockage inside. Otherwise, you know, they are dying, you know. Hare Krishna. All right, so we have reached a natural end. I thank you so much. Please think about the core message. Join the chanting in all seriousness, and you will see wonders happening in your life. All the best on your spiritual path, and thank you for listening. And Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.